Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and it is Monday night, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about red flags. We all have them. We all have a response mechanism within us. What we've done is learn to tune it out. And it may take some time and practice, but we need to learn to respond to it, to recognize it, test it, and then give it a chance to lead us to what God wants us to know in that particular situation. Now, red flags come in all shapes and sizes depending on a particular situation. And what I mean by that is that there are red flags that even non-Christians recognize. You know, oh, that guy just bugs me. Or that teaching just, there's something wrong, that I just don't get it. What's the thrill? And likewise, we think of the example that Jesus had, that when he spoke, when he taught, he drew people to him. His message drew people to him. So the red flags that we're learning to recognize can be a solical response. It can also be a spiritual recognition that something's wrong. For starters, it's not that important to know which it is. Because first, what we need to do is recognize that we need to stop. The presence of a red flag, why is it red? Because we need to stop. Why is it a flag? Because it's flapping. It's trying to get our attention. So it's like a tap on the shoulder. And we go to God and ask what? What is this? Is this from you? Is this something you want me to pay attention to? And we'll get into that a little bit more later. But don't try to, it's not necessary to be too analytical about it. We're not out to memorize a list of red flags. Instead, it's merely the recognition that when we sense something's wrong, something's not right here, we take it to God. I'll give you another little example here. There are a lot of people who have questions about some of the teachings that I share, because they don't understand where it comes from. For them, the only legitimate, or they have a expectation of what background or source supports a message or a ministry. That if you're not a product of a seminary, if you're not affiliated with a national denomination, or if you can't prove how you developed a teaching, that for them is a red flag. So just because we have red flags doesn't mean it's God trying to get our attention. Sometimes it's our flesh trying to keep our attention from something God is trying to do. Now, in that example, what is my response? And it depends a lot on the particular situation and my relationship with the person questioning it. A lot of times I'll just point them to the nature of the ministry. That just as Jesus' answer was that he was pointing to the Father, that he learned things from the Father, he learned what he was teaching from the Father, and what he was teaching was to bring the people to the Father. And that's pretty much my answer, is that I learned them now, you know, from a lot of different sources, but sources that God brought across my path. But not from a seminary, not from a structured, you're not going to be able to go and pick up a textbook and find this content. But my challenge to those who question it is merely, is it helping you to know God? And if it's not, that's fine. I don't feel any need to defend it. Though if there are good questions, I'm happy to answer the questions or address them. Now, a lot of times people just want to argue. And when we sense a red flag, we don't want to be distracted by the red flag. We want to respond to it, recognize it's something telling us to stop, and give our attention to it. But to not, okay, look at, let's investigate the flag, let's study the flag. Instead, we go, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Is this from you or from another source? Again, it doesn't have to be complicated. That tap on the shoulder. Lord, is that you or is that another source? And he says, yes, it's me, or he says, no, it's not from me. And we test that. Lord, is that you? And we proceed from there. But red flags have a tendency to be much more subtle. And because they can be mimicked by our flesh and also by our temperament. I'm just not comfortable doing that. Okay, well, comfortable, let's get more detailed, more specific. What do you mean by I'm not comfortable with that? Well, actually, it's just because it sounds like a lot of work. Okay, well, that's a temperament thing. You know, oh, well, I don't really know if it's going to, you know, be something I can do. Or I'd have to give up something. So sometimes when we just really get into what's the source of the red flag, it may just be our own desires or temperament or beliefs that are getting in the way of something God wants to do in our lives. But the key is, it's an individual issue. You have to go to God. I can help you by asking some questions, but those questions are always going to go, let's go to God and ask him what's going on here. He wants you free. He knows exactly the situation you're in. And he knows that in your spirit, you have already received everything you need, not only to get through this situation, but to overcome it. He doesn't put us in situations to teach us a lesson. You know, what's that saying? You made your bed, now lie in it. That's not from God. He says, you've made your bed. Let's sit and talk. I'll get the hot chocolate. He joins us where we're at. We're all in this together. Spirit, soul, and body, and God. So these red flags are merely another way he is making himself known to us from a different perspective. When we're getting to know someone, how do we do that? Like if you have a coworker and you never have a meal with them or go do something after work, you are going to have a very limited perception of who that person is. Likewise, if we only have a religious relationship with God, if we only talk to him when we need something, or because we think he needs something, we are going to have a very limited view of who God is. So one of God's purposes for these red flags is to make us more aware of the many ways he speaks to us and is involved in our lives. So, a couple of the red flags we've already talked about are when we hear something, a teaching, sometimes some of the things we say to ourselves, or a song. And this might be fun to do, is really start listening to songs and teachings, and when you're reading a book or your own thoughts, you know, ask the Lord to really make you aware of some of these red flags. Now, some of them may be there all the time, but until God starts flapping them, they aren't necessarily something he's ready to talk to you about. But you can still become aware of them on your own. We've talked about messages that are vague to really make any concrete difference. One of the most overused is, you just need more faith. Obviously, you can make that mean whatever you want it to. And the person saying it to you is going to let it mean whatever they want it to. It's a catch-all. Well, the reason you're not healed is because you didn't have enough faith. Or the reason God didn't answer your prayers is because you didn't have enough faith. Another one is, just be in the will of God and you'll never be in the dark. What does that mean? It's another one of those catch-all phrases that you can make it mean what you want, and the other person saying it can make it mean whatever they want. So if you're never clear, if you're never specific, no one can ask you, well, what do you mean by that? You know, and that's, we've talked so many times about religious jargon, how we hide behind religious terminology. And one of the reasons we do that is to keep from explaining ourselves as teachers. So another red flag is when the message you're hearing has no limits. It's unending. In other words, you're just not trying hard enough. Okay, well, how much is enough? Or, well, just keep going, just keep believing. Well, how much believing is enough? And you'll notice these red flags, the messages within them, don't cause you to depend or turn on God. Instead, it's you're kept at arm's length. Just you keep on doing or believing or thinking on your own. It's isolating, isn't it? And then, again, we've talked before about a religious message. Now, I've worked at a couple of publishing houses, and one of the things that I've noticed is different readers who really want to be understood are more than willing to use common English to get their point across. But those who are much more interested in impressing their audience than teaching their audience really hang on to that religious jargon. It's great to have a wide vocabulary, and it's great to have nuance and varied vocabulary, but not if you're using your words to keep your audience at arm's length. We don't want to hide behind words, especially religious jargon. Here's a little sentence for you. As you follow on to know the Lord, pursue your sanctification with righteous justification, and humility and wisdom will be yours with the fear of the Lord. Okay. Now, that's also a case where you can make it mean whatever you want. And the person using it can use it in a, many subject headings. It's one of those catch-alls. We don't have to learn a whole new language to live the Christian life. I think one of the interesting things is very often in seminaries and in other schools of higher learning, it's the language that determines how far along you are in school. You can tell if you've had a certain class by the language you use. And I wonder if it wasn't exactly the opposite when Jesus was walking around. That because he used the common language, he didn't refer to so-and-so's teaching and thus-and-so's book. He spoke what the Lord, what his Father wanted to express and wanted to say. And it's not that we're watering down the language, but we want to be clear. I think that's one of the expectations we want to have for our relationship with God as well. If we think that the only terminology that God uses is religious jargon, we've got him at arm's length. A long time ago, I decided to ask God, when I was recognizing this from that position of seeing how different writers in used language, either for or against their audience, I asked the Lord if he would refrain from speaking to me using the scriptures. And you know what? It hasn't been hard at all. He speaks in common English. I have absolutely no trouble understanding. And I know what he means by what he says. He can be clear and precise. And I think we should expect that of ourselves and of those that are instructing us as well. So look out for the red flags of religious jargon. You know, even phrases like worship the Lord, you know, we want God to move in the service, so let's all stand up and worship the Lord. Okay, so does that mean that if we don't stand up and worship the Lord, whatever that means, that God isn't going to move? It's okay to question these things, because so much of it is just habit or ritual or time filler. And we don't need to go and correct the people speaking. But we do want to start, when the red flag is flapping for us, we want to respond. So, is the message vague? Is it an unending? Is it religious jargon? Another red flag, is the message giving the burden of the doing to the individual alone? One I heard all growing up was, you can't steer a parked car. In other words, you have to get going, and then God will direct you. Another is, God is waiting for you to tithe before he can move on your behalf. Now, the first one, you can't steer a parked car. Basically, looking back, pretty much people just didn't have anything to give me, anything, you know, any good advice. So that's what they came up with. It's a cliche, basically. And in the second, again, it puts the reason God isn't moving is your fault. You are doing something wrong. And very often, if you would just do some more, even if you're doing some, if you do some more, if you're a parked car, and you get moving and he still doesn't move or respond, you have to move more and then tithe. But is the burden of the doing all on the individual? Now, if God were to wait for you to get your act together before he moved, he would never be able to move, because none of us is complete, spirit, soul, and body. We have a long way to go in our soul and our body. And so if God was depending on us as a parked car to get moving, or if he was saying that until we give, he can't bless us, we will never be able to give enough. We will never be able to move fast enough. That was all done 2,000 years ago. We've been moving and giving ever since. It's all done. So we want to start, and we'll maybe get into some of these beliefs more specifically as time goes by. But for now, just recognize there's a red flag there. What's going on? Why is this message making me uncomfortable? And very often, it's because it's putting the burden on you that your action or inaction is keeping God from doing something he wants to do. And that is a lie. Another red flag is when the message is, the benefits of the message is dependent on an aspect of your life that you have no control over. When you hear a message that God is, for instance, that God is really going to move on the youth or amongst the old people, and you're not old or young, well, I guess God isn't going to move on you. But we know that God doesn't care about our age. So, what is the purpose of that? Well, simply, if you hear that and there's a that bothers you, you ask God. Now, I can tell you I've been in many, many conferences where this is a big topic. God is always, seems like he's always moving on the youth. And there's a reason people use that. And that reason is because the youth have no history. They have no sense of history. They don't know that this so-called revival has happened every 9 or 10 years for the past couple hundred years. So they don't know that what they're hearing as fresh and new is a rehash of something that's already happened many times before. So that's why the youth is often targeted. And the elderly are often targeted because they have disposable income and time on their hands. So they make the best volunteers and the biggest givers. Little secrets there from behind the ministry desk. So when we hear that God is doing something with a particular age group or one gender or another or a particular nationality or even occupation, I really see God doing something in the small business area. Now, absolutely, God does do certain things with certain groups of people. But more than not, that's because that's the only way we'll accept it. God is all things to all people. And he is no respecter of persons, and in him there is no male nor female, slave nor free, Greek nor Jew nor Gentile. So he doesn't care about any of those things that we can't change. But sometimes he does that because that's the only way we'll accept it. That's the way he can get our attention. What do we come back to? If we hear a message like that, and whether you fit into that category or not is not the issue. Lord, you ask, Lord, is this for me? Lord, is this something that's from you? Lord, what's going on here? And follow it through. And the people giving these messages, it's not that they are deliberately trying to mislead or manipulate. It's just very often habit. And it's so accepted that it's much harder to depend on God alone than it is to depend on these methods and methodologies of how typical ministry is done. So we'll continue next Monday and look at some more red flags. But if you've got any questions or if you've got your own red flags, feel free to drop me a line. at diane@wecanprepare.org. So have a great evening. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.